voice, oh God. They will hear you personally, oh God. They will hear you. It's you that they will hear, not me. That is my prayer and that is our prayer, oh God. Help us that we will not be distracted, that we will not be worried about too many things, but we will be focused only on you, on your word, oh God. That is our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy, in Jesus' name we have prayed. I have a word for somebody, and it's a word that I got during the week. And it says, do not trust in the arm of flesh. Do not trust in the arm of flesh. I have three verses. Jeremiah 17 verse 5. Thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah 17 verse 5. Thus saith the Lord. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 12. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. 2 Chronicles 32 verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Do not trust in the arm of flesh. Amen. The scriptures again, Jeremiah 17 verse 5, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 12, and 2 Chronicles 32 verse 8. Lord, speak to whoever and whoever's that they might be, or that you speak. Let the word be the word that they've been looking for. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we all be seated? Good evening, everyone. Aye. Good evening, everybody. Thank you, Joshua. Okay. Today I'll be talking. Wow, this sounds weird. Yes, please. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. The theme for this month is partnering. Friendship and partnership with the Holy Spirit. And the topic I have today is the Holy Spirit making and keeping a real friend. A friend is not an acquaintance, it's not any of our colleagues at work, it's not our schoolmates, it's not our flatmates. You might be friendly with people, but that doesn't mean that they're your friends. Who agrees? This is Bible study. Yes. So you're friendly with people, but that doesn't mean that they're your friends. You smile with them. You say hello, hi. You ask after their welfare. They ask after yours. You talk about general stuff. But that doesn't mean that they're your friends. Many of us have Facebook friends. Many of us have followers and on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok, Snapchat. You know, we have people that we interact with day to day, but that doesn't mean that those people are your friends. In real life, we most likely would have maybe 2 to 5 real close friends, maybe. And if you're married, hopefully your spouse will be your friend as well. And thank you, your best friend. You know, I'll use this opportunity to thank Mr. Bams for giving me the gift of friendship. I'm really grateful. You've taught me a lot. Thank you. Yes. Yes, he has really. You know, some of us have had friends from growing up. You know, like when somebody says, Mr. Bams has that, I don't have it. When somebody says, oh, this is my friend from primary school, in my mind, I'm like, what? I don't even know who the people were I went to school with. We moved a lot when I was growing up, to be honest. We moved from place to place because of the kind of jobs my dad was doing. And so I never got to form deep connections with people over a long period of time. And I tell him that it's because I married him that I'm still in one place for as long as I've never stayed in a place this long in my life. So, yes. So I'm very grateful for that. So, but the question I want to ask is, why do we even need friends? I mean, why do we need friends? What's the point? These days, so many people are so lonely. You know, there was this video I watched. Okay, Joshua, why do you need a friend? So you won't be lonely and... Hi, you have somebody to talk to. Thank you very much. Please come and clap for Joshua. So there was in these days we were surrounded with so many people, but no close connections. You know, like you find somebody sitting somewhere and they're talking and they're chatting, but if you ask them later, they'll tell you, "I'm so lonely, I'm so depressed, I'm so sad, I'm so," and you're like, "But you were just talking with people just now. You always have people around you. You always go out. You're always, quote unquote, bubbly and stuff. Even the people that sometimes are even quiet and keep to themselves, they might have one or two people that they talk to and things like that. But these days, you see so many ways to connect. You have WhatsApp. I've already mentioned them, Snapchat, Facebook. Connect. And yet, there's no close connection. There's no... Deep connect, nothing. It's just very peripheral. Oh, I started using big words these days. I don't know. Very surface-like, you know? And it's not deep at all. And sometimes, I'm not just children, I'm also talking to you. So I'm going to be, this is your Bible study as well. You know I'm your teacher, yeah? So I'll be focused on you as well, because we're talking about making and keeping friends. And if there's anything that happens nowadays, you see that children are always talking about, "This friend is not talking to me," or "This person is not my friend," or they are very, very conscious of friends, you know. But it's not just children, even adults. I watched a video, I cried. The man was about 40 something or maybe 50 something, and he said he's so lonely. He has no friends. That he goes out, he goes to the pub, he goes to clubs, he joins different societies, different clubs, different things. But like, nobody wants to get to know him. Nobody wants to. And I said, if only this man knows the Holy Spirit. And I know I prayed a very short prayer for him, but it doesn't matter how long or how short the prayer is. A prayer is a prayer. You know who you're praying to. And I prayed for that man. But do you know that is how many of us are, even in the body of Christ? Even in church, we come to church all well-dressed and everything, ready to serve. But by the time we're going home, we're like, nobody knows us. We're so alone. Nobody understands me. Nobody feels my pain. Nobody really enjoys my success. Nobody celebrates me. I'm not, you know, you just like, I'm just lonely. And loneliness leads to depression, which leads to all manner of other things. And if you go to Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, we says that it's not good for man to be alone. He says that, yes, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him." So he says that it is not good for man to be. Adam was alone, but he was not lonely. I want you to understand that. He was alone, but he was not lonely. Sometimes you just stay by yourself. You're content with yourself. You just enjoy. I enjoy my own company, to be honest. And my favorite pastime, the thing I really enjoy doing, is watching people. I love sitting down somewhere and just watching people. It's weird, right? I know. So, but I love watching people because people are really interesting to me. And as time has gone on, I've learned to start to understand how people behave. Because before, I just didn't understand. I'm like, why don't people just behave my normally? So, but he says here that
that man should not be alone. You should not be alone. When he was talking about alone here, he was talking about that inside loneliness. It's not right. He was not just talking about this. He wants you to be with him. That's the first person that he wants you to be with. Because once God is with you, you will never, ever be alone. That's what he has promised. That's what he has promised. You know, Jesus was someone that had friends as well. He was not a loner. Anybody that you say is a loner and is a Christian, I don't understand. Because we are supposed to be like Jesus, right? It's Bible study. We are supposed to be like Jesus. So Jesus had friends. So you too should have friends. And you know, he said in John 15:15 that I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. Abraham believed God. James chapter 2 verse 23 says Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Even God wants friends. He's not a loner. Mark chapter 3 verse 14 says that he called them so that they will be with him, and then he can send them all out to preach. But he called them so that they will be with him. He also wants companionship. So if God himself wants companionship, how much more us who were created in the image of God? So this is why we need the Holy Spirit, because first and foremost, that loneliness that you feel inside can only be filled by someone greater than yourself. No human being can feel it. You can stay around people 24/7, even if people keep on saying, how are you doing? What's going on with you? How are you? What's happening with you? Even if they are like, hey, what? No matter how much this thing, at some point you go back and you're sleeping by yourself, and then there's that loneliness. There's a Beatles song that was coming to my mind. Ah, Noah is not here. So, but you know, and it's not, loneliness is not your friend, just so you know. So I want to introduce the Holy Spirit as a friend. Remember, the topic is making and keeping a real friend. First of all, you know, there's something that we've lost when we've grown up. When we were younger, I don't know if many of you had it, an imaginary friend. Did any of you have it? When you're talking to somebody, then your parents beat it out of you. Beat it out of you. Eh? You heard the other fact, out of you. Or talk to you out of it. That how can you be having an imaginary friend? And then they beat out the imagination out of you. So, but you know, that imagination was not just any kind of imagination. God was trying to tell us as children that there's someone that you might not see. There's someone that you might not physically see, but the person is close to you, can talk to you, and you can talk back to. And children have a lot of imagination. They can imagine all manner of things. And then as you get older, people will tell you, how can you be talking to an imaginary friend? Now that you're older and you say that you're talking to God, they'll be like, ah, he's an imaginary friend. And some of us find it difficult to imagine, because maybe when we're growing up, they beat it out of you. Or circumstances has pushed you out, like, come to the real world, stop imagining. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The Holy Spirit is not imaginary. He might seem like it, but he's not imaginary. The Word of God says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So where I'm pointing out to is, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. You have to believe that he exists, first and foremost. First and foremost, you have to believe that he exists. Do you believe that he exists? Really? Really? Do you know what he says here? He says you have to believe. He didn't say you have to see. He didn't say you have to feel. He didn't say they have to prove it to your logical mind. He says you have to have faith. You have to believe that he exists, that he's there, even as you're talking to him. This past month, even from the retreat, we've been talking about shutting the door. And many times, many of us have had that. Maybe we are like, it's been unfortunate kind of, but some of us don't know what to do when we shut the door. They've said a lot of things. See what you do. Empty yourself. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Talk to God. Listen for his voice. And some of us are like, I've tried. God is not saying nothing. I've heard nothing. Please, how many of us have heard nothing? Just be honest with yourself, because God is here. No, believe that he exists. He is here. How many of you have heard nothing? Or maybe what you have heard, you don't even understand it. You know, this. There was something that came to me as in I remembered, and I don't know if it happened to any of you. When we were younger, and sometimes it also happens now, you know, when we were younger, like I was a child, my parents would go and visit their friends, and their friends had children. So they would not push us into a room, or go inside, become friends. Wait, did it happen to any of you? Yeah, go inside and become friends, then the two of you just be sitting down. As in, you don't know what to say, like, you just like that, you know, and they expect you to become the best of friends, like, you know, their parents have become. Go and become friends, just like that. It might not even just be your parents. It might be even teachers, people in authority, friends. You and somebody else went to visit somebody else, and then they'll now be like, hey, become friends, just like that. And you're like, so what do you say? So you start with, hello, my name is, how are you? So, what do you do? You know, you just start little. Small, small. Little by little. And truly, that's the same thing with making friends. It's the same thing as making friends with the Holy Spirit. For those of us that have never made friends with the Holy Spirit, you just start little. God, good morning. I believe you're there, and you're hearing what I'm saying. Please just take care of today. I don't even know what today is going to be like, but I'm just believing that you are going to take care of it. Just as simple as that. Children, just as simple as that. Just as little as that. Very, very simple. You start like that. So in that scenario I gave you, anything, some of the things that could happen is, you know, both of you could stay and you just be looking at each other for the 1 hour that maybe the person will now leave you, like, this person is boring and go and do what they are doing, and you just sit down there and be like, oh God, my parents should just hurry up and come. In fact, if you're like me, you will come out to the living room where they are and be like, are you still talking? Go back inside. Okay. Then you go back inside and you now wait. If you're like me, I'll come back many times and be standing there like, please let us go. This is the most boring. That can happen. Or maybe out of anxiety or anxiousness or whatever, you start to talk a lot. And I'm like, so you know, my parents, if you're a child, I'm not blaming you, but when I was a child, I used to make up stories about my parents. My parents did everything. They were superhuman. So my dad went to this place. My mom this thing. Do you even know where this one? You don't even know. As in, oh, I have something like that. I'll just be talking. To cover up. Sorry, 1 minute. Okay, so that could happen as well, that you're just talking, and then the person doesn't have anything to say. At the end of the 1 hour, you're like, oh, great meeting you, and you go. Then your parents ask you, oh, so how was it? It was fun. Oh, so what did people talk about? Oh, we talked about this and talked about that. So what is their favorite color, for example? Maybe you guys were talking about colors. You're like, blue, maybe. She had a lot of blue things. Then as they keep on asking you, you start to realize, I really didn't get to know this person. I was just the only one doing all the talking. I didn't allow the person to say anything. So has that happened to you? Because that has happened to me. even as an adult, I met somebody new, and then I was not like, so, you know, this, I do this, I do that, and everything, I heard about this, did you read about that? And then you just keep talking, and then by the time you leave, you're like, I don't actually know if I know anything about this person I've just met. Another thing that could happen is maybe you start slow. So how are you? What's going on? What's happening? And then, you know, the person speaks back to you. And then you just suddenly realize that the person is speaking another language. You don't even know what this person... Like, the person is talking to you, but you're like, the person is making noises with their... But you don't understand what they are saying. So you're like, speak slower. The person is speaking slower. You're still not getting it. I want to say scouse, but I don't want to say scouse. You know, you're like, okay, I don't understand what you're saying. So one of the things about making friends is you have to learn to listen and you have to learn to hear. My husband speaks a different language from the language I speak, and I'm trying to learn his language. I'm doing very well. Babe, actually, I'm doing very well. Thank you. So I'm doing very well, yes. But I'm not I've not gotten to the point where I can converse 100% in that language. I can say, oh, welcome. I can say, how was your day? How are you doing? I can say, oh, you're looking good. I can say, I can make, you know, exclamations are very, those ones, ma. No, those kind of things. It's very easy. Those ones are the easiest ones to pick up. Have you noticed that children pick up bad words really easily? They might not understand what the word means, but they've heard it often enough and they just say it. And you're like, what did you just say? They don't understand it. Did you get that? So, children, I want to ask you a question very quickly. How many of us have watched Transformers? Okay, there's this transformer that is yellow. What's his name? Yes, no, children. Who's that children that just raised her hand there? Oh my goodness. Yes, Andrew. Bumblebee, thank you very much. So, yes, Bumblebee. How does Bumblebee talk to us? How does Bumblebee talk? Some of our parents, they don't even know. Can you play it? So that's it. Yes, David. He's a transformer for, okay. He's a robot. He's the robot. Bumblebee is the yellow one. He's a robot. He's the one that was talking. And with Wiki is the supposed teenage boy that Bumblebee was talking to. And one of the things that was pointed out here was, oh, Bumblebee lost his voice. They did an origin story last year about how Bumblebee came to Earth and everything. But he lost his voice. And so he learned how to speak via the radio. So he would go to whichever dial. Many of us don't know what radio is all about. Podcasts, for example. And then he'll go to whichever podcast that the person is saying, hello, hi, what are you doing? He'll go to different podcasts, and that's how he will speak to the human beings. And that made me realize about, you know, talking to the Holy Spirit. You know, God says that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So he brought himself low to us and gave us the word of God. The Holy Spirit can only speak to you through the word of God. Now, you know, so when you hear, oh, he will only speak to you through the word of God, you're wondering, how does that happen? How does that happen? How does he speak to me through the word of God? Like, Bumblebee, how he was speaking through the radio is how God, it's not an exact picture, but just for you to have an idea, is how God speaks to us through the word of God. Sometimes you have a question, and I'll give an example. I was planning to go somewhere, and I was thinking about what I was going to wear. I was like, what will I wear? Is it this one? No. Is it that one? No. This one? No. Oh, no. I was just canceling and adding. I was like, oh, this one is okay, but it won't go with this one. I've already agreed. I was just thinking about that. Then the Holy Spirit, I know it's the Holy Spirit because I'd not even thought of that word. Just says, take no thought of what you shall wear. I said, oh my God. Now, how was he able to tell me that? It's via the word of God that I'd already read. So this is why we are supposed to read the word of God. You don't need to understand it. You just need to know it. Just know that you have read it. Let it enter inside of you. Because once it is inside of you, he can use it when you need it. That is what the Holy Spirit does. That's what he does. He uses what you already have. Even if it is just one word that you use it and use it. And everything, like for example, I'm just giving an example. This has not happened to me. I'm doing something and I'm worried about it. I've not learned any other scripture except take no thought. He'll just tell me, take no thought. Finish. And immediately I understand what he's saying. He has come down to my level. So even you children, don't think you need to like understand what is written in the word of God. Just know it, read it, and put it inside of you. You're storing it up. Because the day that he needs to speak to you, just like how Bumblebee was going through different channels, that is when he will just go to that scripture. Has it not happened to you? You were just thinking about something, then a word just came from nowhere, and you're like, where did this word come from? Where did this Bible passage come from? And then, you know, you'll be thinking, okay, it's only through the word of God. No. Sometimes, I'll be thinking, I'm still going to use what to wear. I'm going to be like, okay, God, should I wear this or should I wear that? Do you know, the scripture that will come to me will be that something like, you should dress with modesty. So that doesn't matter if you're wearing red, blue. What you're wearing is fine, as long as you're modest, that you're okay. And sometimes maybe I might be looking at myself and be thinking, oh, I'm such a terrible person and everything. And then he'll just say, there is therefore now no condemnation to... Do you understand? So you might not even remember the word for yourself, but that's what Jesus promised. He said that he will bring to remembrance those things. And how can he remind you of something you don't even know? So look, don't be hampered or don't think I need to understand what I'm... Just read it. Just be eating it. Just be reading it. I take the word of God as like eating. Just be reading it and be reading it. Don't be saying, oh, I need to understand. No. Do you know who is going to help you to understand? The Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'll be listening to the word of God and then suddenly I'll just say, pay attention. And then he'll just say, so I'll just hear something. I'll be like, oh, wow. I've not been paying attention. I've just been listening. That's why audio Bible, if you're not into audio Bibles, please start. Go into audio Bibles. Don't allow theology to pull you down and stop you and hinder you from knowing this true friend that wants to know you. See, remember what I said in the beginning, that God also wants friends. And he wants you to be his friend, just like he wants to be your friend. So that is what the word of God is. Now look at the man. If you can go to Acts chapter 8, verse 29 to 31. It's that man that was going on the road, and Philip met him on the way and said, and he was just reading. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 to 31. It said, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And then he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you even understand what you're reading? He said, no. But do you know what? He was reading it. And do you know who sent him to go and explain what he was reading? The Holy Spirit. So you don't need to be... He was just reading. He was just reading. He was storing it up. So just read the word of God. Don't let people tell you that if you don't understand Leviticus to the Revelation, then don't read it. It's a lie. It can come from any... He can speak from... Look at what Bumblebee was doing. He was going to different channels. He even said that one, hallelujah, the whatever, something angels coming to the... He goes to any channel to get what he needs to tell you that you need at that time. So don't think that the word of God is just there. But even if it's just one that you have, hold on to it. He will use that one, the one that you have, but he wants more. Remember, I was telling you, I was giving a scenario about a friend that you're talking to, that you're learning, you're realizing that he's speaking a different language. The Bible is a different language, which you're learning. Over time, from hello, hi, you start speaking more deep things. And then from more deep things, you start even talking about even tons of phrases. For example, if maybe I said to Sarah, Sarah, this is your brown boots, well done, no. You know, somebody else will be like, oh, she's just complimenting her brown boots. But maybe me and Sarah knows that that this brown boot is not doing it. The brown boot is fine, by the way. But, you know, do you understand what I mean? But as time goes on, that's how you start to understand each other. So don't think that you get from zero to one just like that. It takes time. And that's the same thing about making friends. To make a friend, not even just a deep friend, even a friend, it takes time. It takes time. So you have to give yourself time. You have to give each other time. You have to give the Holy Spirit time to work with you, to teach you how to understand the Word of God. You're reading and you're remembering that you're just believing that He exists, that He's going to use this Word that I'm reading, and He's going to help me to be able to talk to me, to be with me, to walk with me. That's what a friend does. So how do you really make friends? The first thing you do, as far as I know, is you make yourself friendly. It's not easy for me personally. It has not been easy for me personally to make friends, and I've given you a reason based on my background. I moved a lot, and the friends I made, they were just cut off. So I stopped giving my heart to people. I said, I'm not going to bother, because they are going to leave anyway. And maybe some of us have gotten to that point. So you're like, I'm not even going to try. See, the Holy Spirit says that I will never leave you. Neither will I forsake you. Everywhere you're going, I am there with you. No matter what you're going through, I am there. I am going through it with you. That's what the Holy Spirit is, the one person that will not leave you. No matter the issues that you're going through. Some human beings, they are wonderful friends, but they can never be as close as when you're in the office, your best friend is 2,000 miles away. She cannot see how this person is treating you. But the Holy Spirit is right there, seeing how the person is treating you. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will be able to tell you, be calm. Remember, go back to the throne of grace and receive grace to be able to smile at this person and say, yes, it is okay, it is fine, I still love you, it's fine. That is what the Holy Spirit does. That's who the Holy Spirit is. So make yourself friendly is the first thing. That means you should be open. I remember I said that me, I closed my heart to people. I stopped. I built up walls. I was like, no, I don't even want to try and get to know you, because I know that by the time 2 years down the line, you're going to leave me anyway. But you have to, when it says make yourself friendly, you have to open yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to start working with you. Just be like, I'm ready to try. And that's all He wants. That's all He wants. Just try. And the second thing is be intentional. See, there's no real friend that happens by chance. Like, oh, talk, and they become deep friends. It doesn't happen like that. What happens is you now say, I've not spoken to this person in a while. Let me call the person. You now say, let me text the person. Let me send the person a gift. Let me do this. Let me do that. That is an intentional thing. And that's what the Holy Spirit expects. So now you want the Holy Spirit to be your friend. You now have to intentionally make time to spend with Him. And it doesn't have to be like a whole block of time. You take the Holy Spirit everywhere you are. He's everywhere you're going is where He is too. So you're walking, you're in your car, you're walking to school, you can't just be talking to the Holy Spirit. And He's listening. Remember what He says in Hebrews. You have to first believe that He exists. And He's a rewarder of those that seek Him. The way He will reward you is by His presence. The way He will reward you is by showing you that He really is there. He will show you in different ways. That is His reward. The presence of God does not come easy. So you have to, and like I said, you give it time. So as time progresses, you start to talk more often. You talk a lot. You find different ways to talk. You're that chatting, you're Snapchatting, you're TikToking, you're Facebooking, whatever you're doing. You know, you just find a way of interacting with this person that you so really like. You know, there's a couple in church that they're always calling each other. Me, I'll just be like, did you not see each other this morning? So, but they're always calling. You know, they'll call. Oh, hello. So what is going on? Nothing is going on. But you now say, well, I'm just speaking to in camp, and you know, we're just discussing. They'll just be talking. So I'll be like, okay, just talking. So that is what happens. So, but you know, another thing is, don't compare your relationship, the relationship you have started to build with the Holy Spirit, with somebody else's. Now, while there's that couple that they are always calling each other and talking to each other, doesn't mean that they are even any more closer than the couple that waits until they come in the evening to tell them everything. You know, there are some of us that will be like, immediately AY steps through the door, I'm going to tell him exactly what happened. I said, I'm not even entered, finish. Let me enter. I already said, I'm already pouring. You know, and you're like, okay. That might be how your relationship works. So don't compare the way you work with the Holy Spirit with the way somebody else works with the Holy Spirit. Now, keeping friends, I've moved from how to make friends. Remember, I've said that you make yourself friendly, be open, be intentional, give yourself time, and then allow yourself to build that relationship. The relationship builds. Don't give up. Don't be like, oh, this is just too hard. If it's too hard, then don't even bother. Do you know there was a person that worked for a wife for 14 years? And he said that it was just like a day. And I'm like, I've not been married 14 years. It's not like a day. So, you know, 14 years for one person. And he said, it didn't even touch me. Why? Why do you think it didn't even touch him? He'll just be looking at her and be like, ah, so this is going to be my wife. Ah, so this, you know, he'll be telling everybody. And that's how you just be keeping it up. It did not touch him. See, once you start to build that love for the Holy Spirit, that's what will happen. It will just seem like it's not a burden to read the word of God, because you know that it's only through this word that he can talk back to me. I can't understand him if I don't know this word. I can't know what he's talking about if I don't know this word. That is what the Holy Spirit does. That's what we're meant to do. Keeping friends is hard work. I'm not going to take me this thing. It's hard work. You know, they just tell you that, oh, don't worry, once you marry, everything is easy. Mr. and Mrs. C, marriage is easy. You're not answering me now, you're laughing. The laughter is this thing. It's not. It's hard work. You make an effort. If you say that, if you just say it just happens, it will just happen. Oh, I just wake up in the morning, that somehow, during the day, the Holy Spirit will just somehow, will just kind of find a way of just, it doesn't happen like that. That doesn't happen. And it is the Holy Spirit that gives you that power. Remember, we spoke on Sunday about grace. Go back to grace. He's that enabling power to enable you to keep that relationship going. Proverbs 13, verse 20. When you start to spend time with the Holy Spirit, you start to become like the Holy Spirit. The people you spend time with, you become like. So that's why they say, show me your friends. So, yeah, you know that one. They've told you enough. Yes, because it's true. You start to spend time with the Holy Spirit, you start to become like the Holy Spirit. You start to become like Christ. You see, those men that were scared and shaking and hiding themselves prior to meeting the Holy Spirit, when they met the Holy Spirit, they now came out all bold and everything. And even the Pharisees that were attacking them said, we can see that they have been with Christ. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. The Holy Spirit is wise. You want to be wise, walk with the Holy Spirit. Keep that relationship going. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. He won't betray you. He will be there when you're hurting. He'll be there when you're discouraged. He'll be there when you're worried, even if it's late at night. Remember that story about the man that was looking for bread and went to go and knock? That's in Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 13. He went and was knocking on the friend. He had the boldness to go and meet that person in the middle of the night. Why? It was his friend. Forget that the other friend was behaving like not a friend, but he was a friend. He went to knock on the at midnight and said, "I want bread." And he had the courage to ask because we have a friendship. There are some people I cannot go and knock on their door in the middle of the night, but there are some people, it doesn't matter what is going on, I'll call them and say, "Please, I am in trouble, help me." So the kind of help that they will give you depends on the kind of friend that they are. So be careful about the friend. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So it says here that, and so another thing I want you to pay attention to, children, especially when, you know, like you go to school and that people are bullying you or people are not being nice to you and stuff like that, there's a word of God that says that he that is with you, in you, is greater than he that is in the world. You're not alone. You are not alone. You have somebody with you to stand up. You know, like somebody would be standing up to your face and you're like, "Ha, who can I turn to for help?" The person that can turn to you, can turn, is right there beside you. And if you have been keeping your relationship going, you'll be very confident that he's there with you. Just because your relationship might not be going well doesn't mean that he has left you. It just means that you are less aware or sensitive to his presence. That's just what happens. But he's still there. And he says that if you turn back to me, I'll be there to hear you. And I'll listen to you. And I'll come back to you. And he said that he loves at all times. Proverbs 27, verse 5 to 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. One thing that the Holy Spirit will definitely do is he will correct you. Any friend that cannot correct you is not a friend. If that friend is afraid, like, "Oh my goodness." Okay, I've gone to the next one, but let me just stay with that one. It's better for your friend to be able to tell you the truth, because your enemy will just be lying to you. I have a story. Let me quickly say it. I was living with my sister for a bit. We were staying in a room. And I got all dressed up and we went out. And then, you know, she introduced me to two of our friends. And I think, and then we now kept on walking. So, you know, God is still helping me. There's a mirror, like when mirrors or reflective glass, I don't know why, I just look at myself. So I try not to look, but I look. But this time, this day, I looked and I saw my hair net still on my head. Now, bear in mind, my sister saw me leaving the room. She introduced me to her friends and I was there talking. And I told her, I said, "That you couldn't even tell me that my hair net was still." He said that it was matching what you were wearing. So I thought you did it on purpose. I was like, "No, why would I do that? No. But a friend will tell you, "Are you wearing that?" You know, that's what the Holy Spirit will do. That's what the Holy Spirit, I'm not just talking about what you're wearing. I'm talking about even what you're doing. Sometimes you're about to do something and just feel a caution. And sometimes you have done something and you feel somebody saying, "How could you have done that after I warned you?" You hear it. And you know how you hear it? Remember, it's by the word of God. It might not be very clear. Remember, Bumblebee was doing ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, and you have to like guess, okay, what is he saying? But as time goes on, you start to understand immediately what he's saying. If he cannot rebuke you, if he cannot receive correction, the Holy Spirit will not hang out with you because you're not a friend. Remember, he's looking for friends. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. If you're afraid, there is no love in that relationship. There's no love in that friendship. I've spoken about making friends, and I've spoken about keeping friends. I also want to speak about destroying friendship. Don't allow third parties into your relationship. There's a story of the old prophet and the young prophet. That story scares me a lot because the old prophet came and said, this is in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 7 to 9. I came and said, "Don't worry about what the Holy Spirit has told you. In that shut door, in that secret place where the two of you know each other, somebody else now comes and tells you that your friend that you're talking to, that don't, it's not, what he's saying is not really it. Let me tell you the real deal." No. Go back and find out if what you heard was right or wrong. But don't listen to what this other person is saying if it contradicts what you already know. You have to go back and be like, Pastor Ebun, Sister Ebun, she said, when she was talking the last time, she was like, the woman, after she had done everything, she still went back to the prophet to say, okay, so I've finished. What do I do next? Still go back. If you're unsure, if somebody that seems to have a better relationship with this friend that you have comes and tells you like this, and you're like, ah, but that's not what the Holy Spirit told me. See, don't let somebody bully you in your new relationship with your new friendship. Don't let somebody bully you out and kill that relationship. Don't let a third party, now I'm coming to human relationships, spoil your relationship. Paul and Barnabas were having a good time, and then Mark came and scattered it. It's not that he did it on purpose. So you can see that some people, it's not as if they come to destroy the relationship on purpose, but something happens. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 is what, don't allow troublemakers to get into your relationship. And Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Is the other part. Kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Friends are people that love, not people that please. It's not to please you. It's not to make you feel good. It's not to make you happy. It's not to make you feel confident. Let me tell you, if your friend cannot come and tell you that this is your character, you have to change it. You have to stop talking too much. You have to learn how to speak to people. You have to do, if a friend cannot come and tell you that, then just know that that person is not your friend. Actually, that person is an enemy. He's giving you kisses. Oh, you're wonderful. There's nothing wrong with you. We all have flaws. We all have weaknesses. But the main person that can come to me to talk to you without condemning you, because we are human beings, and it's sometimes to correct in love is difficult for us sometimes, but the Holy Spirit is helping us. But the Holy Spirit is the one that he embodies love. So when he's correcting you, know that it's for your benefit. Because I have good thoughts and plans for you. Plans to bring you to an expected end. But if you decide that you don't want to listen to his correction, and that correction can come in many ways. It can come like somebody's talking and you're hearing that rebuke. And it can come, maybe somebody is saying something else. Maybe you're listening to a word, or you're listening to a message, or you're listening to music, or you're reading the word. It can come anyway, and you know that it's a rebuke. You know that he has said something to you, and you refuse to correct yourself. You see, there's a reason why God loved David. It's not because he was perfect, but it was because he was always saying, I am sorry, God, help me. Let us pray. The Holy Spirit wants to be your friend. He's the person that wants to take away that loneliness. And he's always there. He's always there, even when you forget. He's still there waiting. Stand by.